Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to ask you a question. Is there something in your life that is just overwhelming? You're like, can God really intervene, or can he work through this just overwhelming situation in my life? Well, I've got good news for you today. I hope you're going to be encouraged as I share a passage over the next two programs from Genesis chapter 18. It's with Abraham and Sarah. And in chapter 17, the one right before 18, obviously, he shares that he is going to bless them with a child. And of course, they're both over the age of 80, and childbearing seems impossible, but they like a child of their own, and God has promised that he is going to do that. But maybe you're like me. A lot of times God has to remind me a second time that, hey, I'm faithful and I'm going to do what I've said I'm going to do. And so God does this, and it starts out in chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Abraham said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to his wife Sarah and said, "Quick, get three sheaves of the finest flour and knead it and make some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to his servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of the three said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Am I worn out and my Lord is old? Will I have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Well, I really have a child now that I am old?'" And then I love this next part in verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But the Lord replied and said, "Yes, you did laugh." Now this passage, I mean, it's only 15 verses, but there's just so many nuggets in it to me that we can learn from and apply in our lives over 2,000 years later. And the first thing I do want to say is, you know, we can't throw Sarah under the bus because she was afraid, so she lied and said that she didn't laugh. And yet, of course, God called her out and said, "Yeah, actually, you did laugh," because we've all been there before. I mean, you know, how many times have we seen the flashing blue lights in the background and we get pulled over and we're just like, "Oh, Lord, if I get out of this ticket, I promise you I'll never speed again or run a yellow light or I'll come to a complete stop at stop signs." I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? You know, we've lied to God, and, you know, we're not doing it intentionally, but I don't want Sarah to be thrown under the bus here just because of her response. And yet, the fact of the matter is God knows her heart. So he did say to her, "Hey, yes, you actually did laugh." And I love that, you know, that Sarah was real, and yet the Lord said, "Hey, I know." Yet I'm so thankful that even when Adam and Eve sinned after they ate the one fruit from the tree, the one tree that they weren't supposed to, and then they hid because they were aware for the first time that they were naked. And now they knew between right and wrong, and so, of course, they knew they had let God down, and so they went and hid. And yet, I love that from the beginning, God pursues us, and he went looking for them. and asked where they were, and then asked, why did you hide? And they said, well, we hid because we were naked and we were afraid. And friends, over 2,000 years later, we're still doing the same thing so many times, aren't we? We make a mistake, we sin, and we continue to sin, and we make mistakes, and we make selfish decisions that impact others, which a lot of times we think, well, it really doesn't. You know, it just affects me. But almost always when we make a selfish decision, it has a ripple impact and effect on other people's lives, doesn't it? Yet God continues to pursue us and wants us to come closer to him. And I want to ask you, what it is it in your life today that the enemy has told you, well, God can never forgive you for that? And you just kind of run afraid from God. You might show up at church late and then you leave during the last song, so you don't have to make conversation with anybody. Or you were part of a life group, a small group, or you were going to the Wednesday night Bible studies or services, and you kind of just said, yeah, I'm busy and taking the summer off, and I'll get started back in the fall. And now the fall is here as far as September. It's after Labor Day, and things are starting to get in regular routine at places of worship, at churches, and yet you've still not gotten reengaged, signed up again for a life group or be a part of your Wednesday night church services, or maybe they're offering some studies, men's and women's groups throughout the week or Saturday mornings, and you're still disengaged because you are afraid. And yet I want to remind you that nothing is too hard for the Lord. I mean, he's talking to Sarah and Abraham, and here they are way up in age, and yet he's saying, I can provide a way. I can make it happen. And he just simply says to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? So I want to ask you that today. Is whatever it is that you're dealing with, do you feel like it's too hard from God? And I know there's been times in my life where I felt like that. And sometimes when God does answer the problem that I have, and it's usually a lot later than sooner when he does, it's not always the way that if Greg Horn was the God of the universe, that I would not answer it that way. It'd be in a different way. Yet, as Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and thoughts higher than yours. And I have to be reminded of that quite often, when I don't understand. And friends, those of you that listen faithfully, we're coming up, hard to believe, almost 2 years. In December is when December 4th will be the 2-year anniversary of Hope is Here. And I've said this off and on, not a lot, but I do share it on occasion. Today I feel like I need to say it again, that this side of heaven, there's just a lot of things we won't understand. This battle between evil and good. And as I've heard a pastor I like to listen to a lot say quite often, God is much more interested in your character than he is your comfort. We'll say that one more time. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And are we doing what John chapter 3, verse 30 says when they asked John the Baptist, hey, man, Jesus is on the scene and we're not sure who to follow. Is it you? Or do we follow Jesus? You know, you were performing all these miracles, but now Jesus is on the scene. And I love the humility of what John the Baptist said in his response. In John chapter 3, verse 30, he said, he, talking about Jesus, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And friends, I don't know what area of your life it is, but God, it may be several areas, and maybe it's just your whole life just saying, you know, Lord, I've been kind of self-centered and wanting to do it my way, and I just want to put the other knee down. I've had one knee down and trying to honor you, God, with my life, but I'm going to put the other knee down. I'm going to have that Garden of Gethsemane moment like Jesus did before he went to the cross, and I'm going to put both knees down. Not just one, both knees down, and get prostrate before God and just say, Lord, I'm yours. You must increase and I must decrease. Jesus asked if there's any way that you could remove this cup from your servant. Please do it. In other words, if I don't have to take this just agonizing, excruciating, painful death on the cross, which of course started with a scourging of 39 times being whipped before he even went to the cross, that most people didn't even survive from that. And when you feel like you can't get through whatever you're going through, whether it's a painful divorce or a job loss or a medical challenge, I want to encourage you, because of even just the scourging that Jesus went through, where he was whipped 39 times with those whips that had pieces of glass and rock in them and would just slice and dice people's backs. In fact, historians say sometimes the scourging was so bad that you could see people's intestines through their back, because the skin was just so shredded and gone. Because when they whipped them and it slid through their back, it just tore the flesh off. And I always, when I watch The Passion of the Christ, that did such a great job of just showing what it really was like. And people are like, oh my gosh, why did they make it so bad? Well, they didn't make it bad. They just made it what it was. They kept it real. And when I've seen that movie several times over the years, in fact, I need to watch it again. I usually like to watch it on Good Friday, just getting my heart ready for Easter. It just reminds me of the pain that Jesus went through. And if he can endure that, especially in one scene they show where he gets back up after just being whipped all the time, I'm just like, no, stay down, stay down, so they won't whip you anymore, Jesus. Yet he gets back up. I just really felt clearly one time when I was watching, the Lord just said, Greg, that's why you can get up when life has been really hard on you and you've been beaten down and you just feel overwhelmed and you're hurting. Because of what my son Jesus Christ went through before he went to the cross, the scourging he went through, you can also get up just like he did. And so I don't know who's listening today, but God does, and you need to know that you can get up again. You can walk forward. You can heal. You can have a wonderful life again. You can be prosperous. You can be a blessing to others, even though you may be in financial ruins right now. Even though your husband or wife may have walked out right now. Even though you've got a rebellious child that is suffering from addiction and you just at your wits' end and you're having to do tough love now and to say, I'm sorry, I can't enable you anymore. Yet because of Jesus, faith, the scourging, his death, his burial, resurrection, there is hope. And I want to encourage you today to ask Jesus to help you and be reminded, just like the Lord did with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's not, friends, it's not. And so I want to share four things with you, but unfortunately I'm out of time. But I'm going to share those with you in our next program from Genesis chapter 18. And I want to thank, we've got some people that help monthly bless Hope Is Here with a financial blessing. But, you know, we could use some more help. This ministry is more than just a radio program. And so we offer a lot of other things. And if you go to our website, hopeishere.today, you can find out about some of the other things that we're doing to make a difference in the ministry of Hope Is Here. And you can make a safe, secure donation online at hopeishere.today, or it also has a mailing address. We have people that like to mail checks. I'm old school. I still like to write checks, too. I also donate to some other ministries online at times. But we would really appreciate your help. So if you will, go to hopeishere.today to make your online, secure, and safe donation, or mail a check. Make it out to Hope Is Here. You'll see the mailing address. We would greatly appreciate it. I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow for Hope Is Here. Need help selling your home? Or are you looking to buy your dream home? Let Diana Fields and her team with the Millennium Real Estate Group at Keller Williams Bluegrass Realty help you. Serving Central Kentucky in real estate and property management for 21 years, Diana Fields and the Millennium team have the experience to help you with one of life's biggest decisions in buying or selling a home. Contact Diana Fields today at 859-621-0604 or online at millenniumlex.com. That's millenniumlex.com.